Well, good morning. I remember growing up in this church and hearing Mike Hathcote sing and thinking, one day when I grow up, I'm going to sing like that. I think I've grown up, they tell me. I can't sing like no. That's why I play behind a shield over here. Anyway, all right. So today I want to talk about Jesus. I figured it's a pretty good topic, Jesus. And actually, I've preached a version of this message at Memphis Union Mission not too long ago, and I got to looking at this passage again, and then we heard from Joe Lee last week about the storms, and he mentioned this passage, and so I thought, well, it's a good time to go ahead and preach about it, I guess, but... I've entitled this message, Jesus, but I want to talk about Jesus' sovereignty. And so the word sovereign, so we have a lot of these Christian words that we use, and sovereign is one of those. There's not many times in our regular vocabulary we use the word, at least not me, use the word sovereign. And so when I come across words like that, I like to explain them. And so the word sovereign carries this idea that someone or something has complete authority and complete control over something. And so when we talk about Jesus today, when we look at this story that's in the book of Matthew, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 today. When we look at Jesus, we see that he is sovereign. We need to remember that he's sovereign. And the thing about this idea of Jesus' sovereignty is that, especially in our culture, in America, and especially if you're a guy in this room today, our pride doesn't like the fact that we're not in control. Our pride wants us to be in control. You know, I was grown up to be taught that, you know, you have control over your destiny, over your life. You know, you're supposed to be a provider, those sorts of things, and that we're supposed to have control. But as a Christian, hopefully you understand at this point that Jesus is who's really in control, and Jesus is sovereign. And so it's not something that we accept very easily. You know, we're supposed to be free to do whatever we want. We desire independence. But we've got to come to the point in our lives where we look at things, we look at our mistakes, and we look at all the ways that we messed up, and know that when we're in control, we only seem to mess things up. And maybe that's not true for you, but that's true for me. And it's probably true for a lot of people in this room, that when you're in control, when I'm in control, I tend to mess things up. So my ideas, my desires, my grand plans, they never quite live up to their potential. I find myself in situations in life where I look around and I realize that my plans and my pride have done nothing but let me down. You know, I look around and I wonder, how in the world did I get here in my life? I thought I would be somewhere else. Maybe you find yourself in that situation this morning. Maybe you've done all that you can do on your own, and you've come to realize that it wasn't enough. And that's where Jesus steps in. So I'm not here to bring you down. That sounds a real negative so far, so that's not my point this morning. But I'm here to lift you up and tell you that there's a better way, that we don't have to rely on ourselves, that we don't have to do things all on our own, that Jesus is there, Jesus is sovereign. He'll never let you down like we let ourselves down. Jesus will walk alongside you. Jesus' plans will happen, and you will have the opportunity to follow Jesus and allow him to be sovereign in your life. You can allow him to have control over your life because Jesus can and does live up to his promises, unlike anybody else or anything else around you. And so one more thing before we get into the scripture. As we get started, we've got to admit to ourselves today, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whether you're on the fence and not sure what's going on in your life right now, you've got to admit that you've messed up at some point. Maybe you've messed up this morning. Maybe you've messed up this week. I know I've messed up plenty this week. I've let people down around me. I've said things that I shouldn't. I've done things that I shouldn't. And that's all just this week. And I've lived a whole life like this for almost 34 years now. And I can probably bet everyone in this room has done the same. We mess up. And that's who we are. We're sinners. So come to terms with yourself this morning. Realize that we aren't perfect because we're human. It's because of that imperfection that we need a Savior. It's because of that imperfection that Jesus came to restore us to a right relationship with our Creator God. So I'm not here to tell you that I'm perfect and you've messed up, and that would be a lie. We've all messed up. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that Christians have been forgiven. And Christians try to live like Jesus, even though we mess up daily. So that's what we're going to talk about today in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And the first point is that Jesus is sovereign over circumstances. Jesus is sovereign over circumstances. And just so you know, a little bit of the context of what's going on here in Scripture, right before this, Jesus had fed the 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So he performed this amazing miracle right in front of all of these people, right in front of the disciples. So this is what has just happened immediately. This isn't something that happened weeks ago. You know, they're faced with this immediately before this circumstance that we're going to talk about. So he was ministering to people all the time by this point in his ministry, and he needed rest. And this is where we pick up Matthew 14. I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. Matthew 14, 22 through 25. It says this: immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So one thing to point out here, just before we really get started, is that Jesus, even Jesus, the man who was perfect, lived a perfect life, did all the things that we could never do. Jesus needed alone time with God. And so when I think about that, when I think about my own life, and I think about humans in general, we can never live up to the standards of Jesus. We can never live up to all the things that he accomplished in his ministry. And even Jesus needed alone time with God. So what kind of time are you spending with your Creator? Do you spend a regular amount of time with Jesus on a daily basis or a weekly basis or, you know, some kind of regular basis? Do you go to him regularly in prayer? Do you rest in him? Do you lean on him like we just sang about a few minutes ago? Do you spend time learning from his word? Even Jesus needed time like this in his life. So I think that we should probably follow that same example. We're not above Jesus. I'm not above Jesus. I don't think anybody in this room is above Jesus. What kind of time are you spending with your Creator? And so we see here that while he's doing this, while he's resting, while he's spending time in prayer, we see here that the boat began to be battered by the storm in the sea. And so things were not looking good. This happens quite often, and we heard a great sermon last week about, you know, how God can rescue us from the storms of life, and we all know that that those things happen. But here we see the disciples facing this again. They're in the sea. They're in a boat. Things are not looking good. They're scared for their lives. So at this time, Jesus was still in prayer, but he knew what was going on. So if you look over in the book of Mark, chapter 6, so the Gospels are really cool. If you've never studied the Gospels tell the same stories, but sometimes they include different details that other books don't. If you look at Mark 6, which verse is it? Chapter 48. It's the same story of Jesus walking on the water, except this detail is in there. It says, he saw, being Jesus, he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So he saw them. So we see here that even though Jesus is away from them, and even though the disciples are struggling in this storm, we know that Jesus saw them. He knew what was going on, but he didn't deliver them immediately. Jesus knew that they were going through a storm. He knew that things were getting really rough for them. He knew that it was life-threatening, and yet he allowed them to go through that storm for just a little bit. Some biblical scholars say the disciples could have been struggling through the storm for up to 12 hours. There's a lot of different translations and things that say how far the boat was off, that he was off a mile, he was off the boat was off further than that. So I don't know how completely accurate all of that is, but it's still true to know that Jesus saw them struggle, but he didn't act immediately. He knew exactly what they were going through, and he allowed them to go through the storm. And so remember, Jesus is sovereign. He's in control of everything. He cares for us. He watches over us, even when we're going through the hard times in life. So Jesus finally came to the rescue, and he walked on water to them. But isn't it comforting to know that Jesus sees you? He sees me, and he's in control over our lives. Even when we feel like everything's crumbling around us, when we feel like things are never going to get better, when we feel like this is the worst time in our life, isn't it comforting to know that Jesus sees us and he's in control? So I've got a few kids at home, and I often look at our relationship and compare it to the relationship that God has with us. After all, the Bible tells us that God is a good father. We sing the song, Good, Good Father, and all of these things. And I know not everyone has that example at home to be a good father, but this is the relationship that we see as compared between God and us. And so I look at my children, and I look a lot of I look at a lot of things that compare to how I'm supposed to react to them, how I'm supposed to treat them, how I'm supposed to love them. So I see them struggle with things. You know, the real hard things that kids struggle with. You know, when you can't get the ketchup out of the bottle. You know, when you don't have to, when you have to take another shower because it's been another day, right? If only they could take it every 3 days, they probably would still whine about having to take a shower. There's a lot of hard things that they deal with, right? Or at least in their minds that they deal with. And we laugh at them, and we laugh at the way that, especially when they're really little, the little things that they deal with in life, and they think it's just over. There are times when my kids have complete meltdowns and they feel like that it's never going to, you know, they're not going to make it to the next day because of the way, at least the way they act. Maybe they don't. And we look at that and we say, well, they don't even see the full picture here. They can't even see what's going on. You know, they don't even have to pay taxes yet, right? By the way, that's due soon if you haven't. And we laugh at them. We laugh at the struggles that they have. But then I get to think about our lives and think, how does God see us? God knows the full picture. He knows what's going on way past what we can ever see in our future. And he's got us. You know, just like a father can tell that child, hey, I've got you. You're fine. I promise you it's going to be okay. This is the same God. This is the same way that God treats us. So kids have these hard lives, but seriously, I see them struggle through things, especially as they get older. One thing that I've learned that I know is that it doesn't help for me to just do everything for them, right? If I take off that, right now Levi is struggling with taking off his the toothpaste lid because, you know, it gets kind of gummy in there. He's never going to learn to take that toothpaste lid off if I do it for him, right? And maybe that's something little, but there's harder things in life that we're never going to learn. Our kids will never learn if they don't try to experience it on their own. And maybe you've got older kids who are in college who are struggling with decisions in their life, and they're never going to learn until they make a few mistakes. But the good thing is that you're there for them. You love them. You see them, just like Jesus does here with the disciples. He wants his disciples to learn something, so he allows them to struggle, even though his eye is on them the whole time. He's got them. So even though we don't think about it, Jesus is right there for us. He's in control. Sometimes we're hard-headed, and sometimes we need to learn a lesson. And if you can't admit that, then maybe you're too hard-headed to admit it. Sometimes you need to learn a lesson. Sometimes I need to learn a lesson. So we find ourselves in a situation that seems too hard for us to deal with. When we lose that job or we lose that relationship and we fall into temptation or addiction and we struggle through life, at times we need to remember that Jesus can be right there walking with you if you would just put your trust in him. So our struggles, they don't all go away when we put our trust in Jesus. But All we have to do is follow him, and we'll have someone there to walk through those struggles with us. We have to make him the boss of our lives, the Lord of our lives. We have to submit to his teaching in the Bible, and he will be there with us. So Jesus cares for you. He's in control of every situation. He is sovereign. So we just need to learn to trust him and follow him, and that's what I'm asking you to think about today, is to trust Jesus and follow him even in the storms of life. So secondly, not only is Jesus sovereign, but Jesus calls us to courage and faith in the middle of the storm. And we heard a great sermon last week about this, about what it's like to be in the middle of the storm and when Jesus is there for us. But I want to read verses 26 through 31. Matthew 14, verses 26 through 31 says this: "But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So finally, after what probably seems forever for the disciples, Jesus comes to their rescue. He comes walking on water, something that everybody knows about Jesus and can't quite ever understand how in the world that works, but it's Jesus. They had forgotten about Jesus. The only thing on their mind was fear and uncertainty and death. But in the middle of all that, Jesus is right there. And oftentimes in life, when we're running away from things and we're getting as far away from Jesus as we can, Jesus never leaves our side. He's right there. All we have to do is turn to him. Jesus reminds the disciples. He says, "Do not be afraid." Sometimes we just need to tell, we need to, someone to tell us that. In those times when we look around and we can't believe what we've gotten ourselves into, and we begin to fear, we begin to wonder what to do next, we begin to wonder how we'll ever get ourselves out of this one, Jesus is there reminding you not to be afraid, so trust in him today. All throughout the Bible, God tells us over and over again that he'll be with us and that he'll never leave us and that we can have hope that Jesus is there and that he is in control. So at this point, the storm's raging, but Jesus is there, and Peter wants to ensure that it really is Jesus. And so he does something crazy. He asked Jesus to let him walk on the water, and to his surprise, Jesus said, "Come." And so I don't want you to miss this part. If you look at this, and we see when Peter was focused on Jesus, when Peter's trust was fully on Jesus, when his focus was on Jesus, he walked on water. I don't know if you've ever tried to walk on water. It doesn't work. Sometimes you can get maybe a half a step. You know, you run really fast off the edge of the pool. I tried it when I was little. It doesn't work for very long. It's something that's impossible, right? Peter here did something that he never could have done in his own power, no matter how hard he tried. But when Peter put 100% trust in Jesus, an amazing thing happened. When Peter's focus was on Jesus solely, and he was willing to step away from his only means for protection, which is the boat. But there's a big problem that happens, and I see it happen in my life all the time. Maybe you see it happen in your life all the time, and maybe one day we'll learn. But Peter took his focus off Jesus, and he began to worry again. He began to see all the things around him, the wind, the water, the raging sea. He began to worry, and Peter's fears, worries, and anxieties took over, and he began to sink. I want you to learn from this that Jesus can do amazing things through you. You can overcome obstacles in your life. He can use you in ways that you never thought could ever happen, but you've got to trust Jesus. You've got to focus on Jesus. You've got to believe in Jesus, and you've got to follow Jesus. If you don't do those things, you'll continue to sink. You'll be just like Peter, worried about all the things around you, all the things that could go wrong, and you're taking your focus off of Jesus. You'll continue to sink. It was mentioned last week, and I've heard it a million different times, that there are three situations in life. You're either just coming out of a storm, or you're about to go into a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm. And lately, we've been in the middle of a storm, or at least a lot of rain around here. But maybe it's a storm that's in your life. It's a fact of life that struggles are going to be a part of it. That's what you're going to deal with in life. It's never going to be easy. And so when you're right in the middle of those storms in life, we've got to have faith in Jesus. And the really good news is that when we lose sight of Jesus at times, he is right there to help you up. So as it says in the scripture, it says that when Peter began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus, the word there is, immediately reached out his hand. Jesus was there. All he had to do was cry for help to Jesus, and Jesus was there to help him. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this. It says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So Jesus is there. All we've got to do is trust him. So remember that today. And then, so Jesus is sovereign. He's in control. He calls us to faith. But lastly, Jesus is worthy of worship. If you look at the last couple of verses there in Matthew 14, 32 and 33, it says this, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, and they said, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So when Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples worshipped him. Jesus deserves worship and respect as the powerful Son of God. That's who Jesus is. This must be a part of our life. And again, this is something that sometimes we skip over and we think is just not very important. But we need to recognize Jesus for who he is and worship him for that. When we face those storms in life, we should remember that Jesus is there, and we should praise him for his power and his control. Because after all, he wants what's best for you and me. We've got to follow Jesus and worship him in the good times and the bad, because he is worthy. So Jesus is always with us. Jesus is always in control. He is sovereign. Understand that. Accept that. Understand who you are, and submit to his authority. Have faith in Jesus and know that he is there even when your faith is lacking. Also worship him. Give him praise. Live your life for him, and you won't be sorry for that decision. Your security in this world isn't based on you. It's not based in something that's man-made. And in the Bible here, it wasn't based on the boat that was there, right? That boat could have been torn apart at any point. Peter stepped away from his security and put all of his trust in Jesus, and we saw an amazing thing happen. And I think we can apply that to our own lives. All the things that we think keep us safe, all the things that we can trust in, are really worthless outside of Jesus. You'll never have the motivation or the tools to bring yourself out of the pit. When things get really hard in life, you're going to struggle, and you're never going to be able to make it out on your own. And that's what the Bible is telling us. That's why Jesus is there. If we were to save ourselves, there'd be no point in sending the Son, God sending his Son Jesus to die on the cross and raise again, right? If we could do it on our own, what would be the point? So struggles will always get you down, and even your faith is going to waver at times. So even when you walk away from God, when you think, when your faith is not very strong in him, when you question the things about God, who he is, his power, his sovereignty, know that that's a normal part of life as well. And run back to him. Jesus is always there. So our security is based on Jesus. It's all about him. He doesn't move. He doesn't leave or forsake you. He's always there. So stop focusing on yourself and how you've messed up. Stop focusing on myself and how I've messed up. That's really what we do. A lot of sin is based, or all sin, I think, is based in selfishness. We're worried about us, and we're not worried about other people, or we're worried about us, and we're not looking towards Jesus. So stop focusing on yourself and how you've messed up, and start looking toward Jesus. People will always let you down, but Jesus does not let you down. Come to Jesus, put your faith and trust in him, and allow him to change you from the inside out. So it's a short message today, but I think it's important to understand that Jesus is sovereign, Jesus is in control. And so maybe you're here today and maybe you haven't put your trust in Jesus fully. Maybe you've been attending church your whole life and you realize I've never actually put my trust in Jesus. I've never actually given my whole life 100% to Him. Today's a day that you can change that. Today's a day that God can save you. Today's a day that Jesus can be walking right alongside you. Maybe you're here and you've been looking for a church home and have found this to be a place that you've fallen in love with, a place that you can be discipled, a place that you can grow, a place where you can serve. In just a moment at the invitation, you'll be invited down to join the church if that's what you're looking for. Lastly, maybe you're just going through a storm in your life and maybe you just want to pray. That's what this time is for, this invitation. So in just a minute after I pray, we're going to have some of our pastors down here to pray with you. Or you can pray at the steps, you can pray at your seat. Maybe you need to accept Christ today. Maybe you need to learn more about this Jesus that can be alongside us even though life is tough. We're going to be here to share the good news with you. I don't want a person to walk out of these doors today not knowing about your relationship with Jesus, not having that full trust in Him. So I'm going to pray, and if you want to come talk to one of us, if you want to come pray, if you want to join the church, now's the time to do that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for Jesus. Father, I pray that as we go through hard times in our life, Lord, that we would learn that we're never going to be able to fix that on our own. Father, I pray that when we go through those struggles, when we go through those times in our life when it seems like there's not going to be a way out, that God is right there with us. God is calling us to Him. Father, I pray that if those that are in this room that don't have a relationship with you, or maybe thought they had a relationship with you and have realized recently that they don't, Lord, I pray that they would be able to get that right this morning. Father, I pray that for those that are struggling with things in their life, Lord, that they would seek prayer. Lord, that they would look after your face. Lord, that they would know that you're there for them. Father, I pray that if there's those that are looking to join our church, Lord, that you would bring them forward. And Father, I pray for the future of our church, for our next pastor, and all the things that go with that. Father, I pray that you would move in a mighty way among us. And Lord, continue to use us even now as we try to reach the community. So Father, work in this time of invitation. Father, I pray that you would move in people's lives, and Lord, that you would reign supreme. Lord, we thank you for how you love us. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for being in control in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would know that, and we would rest in that, and that we would trust you and have faith in you today. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.